everybody, and welcome back to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are happy to be queer to answer your questions. I'm Gina.
And I'm Cheyenne.
And class is now in session. Today we are talking about being sapphic in the workplace, being gay, being queer. You're going to work of any kind, you're getting paid, and you also happen to be gay. And I feel like that applies to almost everybody, right? I mean, even if you're a stay-at-home mom, that's your workplace. You're still gay there.
True. My workplace is mostly queer people, at least the women. So I feel like, you know, if you get lucky, if you find kind of like an alternative space, it's nice to kind of have a community within your coworkers. I know not every field is the same when it comes to that. And even with like a bunch of queer people, that doesn't mean it's like a homo utopia or anything.
Right.
Yeah. It's still like, I had like an alternate title for this episode in my head, which was like sapphic under capitalism. So like, we're all just doing what we can to survive and hopefully trying to cause like the least amount of harm to like other people and the environment and to ourselves possible.
But that can go way further than the workplace though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, like, for a living, that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Gotta pay the bills. Gotta mm-hmm. be gay, make money somewhere.
What jobs have you had? I'm just curious.
When I was younger, I worked at a pizza place in college. I worked at a daycare. I worked at the campus call center in college. And then I've just had like HR jobs, and I'm in corporate America now.
Yeah.
And HR technology.
I've had a lot of jobs because I'm like, I get bored easily and I like new stimulation. But like, I've like worked at a few places for like a couple years, probably is the most I've ever, like the longest I've ever worked at a job. My first job was at a local baseball field, kind of gay of me. That was the first time I ever met a furry.
Okay.
I worked at like an ice cream place. I worked at a local country club. I worked at like Sam's Club. In college, I worked at a local like historical society and like cleaned this like haunted mansion and like organized like artifacts and shit. And I also worked at like the public defender's office, which was a fun job because I got to like read everyone's files and be nosy. And then I worked for like an insurance company and a call center. And I worked for like a local like group home for people with intellectual disabilities. And then after I left there, because that job was just like emotionally taxing and draining and physically and stuff, and like we didn't get the best supports there, but I did like a bunch of like temp jobs, and I worked in like accounting and cybersecurity, and those were probably two of my favorite ones actually. And then after that I worked for like a sex toy company, which was cool. And yeah, now I'm doing me.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm surprised in there you didn't, I thought you said sex toy company, and for some reason I thought you were gonna say like a sex like phone line company or something. I don't know if you realize, like, sometimes you say things that you do not, like, if you just clipped it from our podcast, you'd think that all we ever talk about is sex. Like, you were like, I have to switch jobs because I need to be stimulated. And I'm like, where's she going with this?
Okay.
Well, one of our first questions, a couple people asked actually when to come out at work and when not to. When should you disclose your sexuality? So when you're jumping to all these jobs, do they know you're a gay, or like when does that come up?
I mean, I guess at the first job that I was out at was like the insurance company. I don't think anyone there knew about my sexuality, but that's not true because there was one girl that I hooked up with. But it was when I was like non-monogamous and also had a boyfriend. And then I switched to the like group home setting, and pretty much everyone there knew because you're spending so much time with people. Like I worked like sometimes 18-hour shifts with people, so like you're spending a lot of time. So like maybe like the higher ups didn't necessarily know because I didn't interact with them as much, but anyone like in the house that I interacted with regularly, they all know. And then after that, I had like the temp jobs, and I feel like I didn't really get to know anyone there. So I don't think anyone really knew. And then after that, I worked for a sex toy company. They definitely all knew. And since then, like the restaurant I work at, I'm pretty sure everyone knows. Maybe there are people who don't, but like I've been pretty open about it, and I'm sure anyone who I haven't talked to about it has probably like crept on me on Facebook and found out the details for themselves or heard things.
Was there like any job that you specifically were like, I'm not gonna come out here? Like, even if you didn't go around being like, hey, everybody, I'm a homosexual, like, was there certain jobs you were like, I'd rather them not know?
Well, I did work as like a caretaker, kind of like one-on-one for someone, and like I didn't tell them because it was like an older person who I didn't know how they'd take things. And
That
then
makes sense.
I guess also when I worked at the insurance company, I wasn't really out to people because one, I didn't talk to that many people. I was like on the phone all day. And two, I still had a boyfriend. Like I wasn't ready to be open about being non-monogamous at that time or figuring things out. So I feel like there are certain circumstances where I haven't come out. Like when I was just taking care of one person, I didn't know if that would change things or not. But I feel like for the most part, I've been pretty willing to be open about it, but I definitely don't talk to all of my coworkers about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. The job that I have right now, I've been at for over 6 years, almost seven. And so the one I had before this one, I was single when I got the job, and it was really easy for like I feel like it came up in conversation in my first like day or two that I was bisexual. And because I think it was called conversations of like, oh, are you dating? And it just like came up easily. But when I started the job I have now, I had a boyfriend. And so it didn't like come up, it didn't come up in conversation because like, why would it? I had a partner. And it came up after we broke up because I was very like, when people were talking about it, I was very explicitly like, I will not be dating men anymore. I am going to be exploring the other part of myself, and I'm going to give men a little time out for a while, which turned out to be like for Ebs. But that, so like, it's, I feel like it's not like a matter for me of, oh, the people or what's like the vibe of the place. It was more like what was happening in my relationship at that point in time and whether or not it like really came up in conversation.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like now even because it's like widely known that I am a lesbian. Well, I guess not everyone knows I'm a lesbian. Like sometimes people will be like, "How do you identify?" And I'll tell them or we'll
They know
talk about
you're
it or whatever.
queer,
They know I'm in
right?
a relationship with a woman. But like sometimes I will almost come out as someone who has been in relationships with men and people will be shocked by it.
That's
Like I
funny.
will mention having like an ex-boyfriend and people are like, "What? You had an ex-boyfriend? What do
Like,
you
yeah, it
mean?"
happens. It's
Yeah, they were
unfortunate,
like,
but it
I had no
happens.
clue. Yeah. It's so funny though, because it's almost like r a reverse coming out experience.
Yeah, and I mean, just from a HR perspective, and this kind of even leads into our next question, which is similar. Has anyone come out to their interviewer in a job interview? How did you bring it up? So, from a like an HR perspective, just like whether or not you have to bring it up in interview at your workplace, like whatever. If you're in an interview, you definitely don't have to disclose that. They shouldn't be able to just flat out ask you. You could claim that alone as like, why do you need to know? Are you going to hire me based on how I answer? There may be some companies who would ask in a questionnaire, and that I would pay attention to like how the questionnaire is coming across because it might not be something that they see, and it might be just a part of their like analytics, which companies do get as a way to do more diverse hiring rather than trying to say, I don't want to hire this person because of XYZ, but like a lot of companies are trying to diversify their recruitment efforts. So I don't think it's going to hurt to bring it up if you already know what that company is doing in that regard. Like, you can Google them, you can look at what their social media presence looks like. You can like kind of find out, I think you can flat out ask your interviewer, like, what does diversity mean to this company? Mm. What efforts are you doing? And that could be your way of bringing it up, even, you know, after they give an answer, you can say, well, I'm asking because I'm a part of this group and this group. And that's why I'd like to know if there's any, do you have resources for these people? Like, do you have pride groups? Do you have parental leave for everybody who's having children, regardless of gender or how it's happening? You know, what are your PTO around adoption things? Like, I think it's okay to bring up in interviewing because those things can impact your quality of that job. Mm-hmm. And then once you've been interviewed, I think it's still like up to you. You can feel the vibe. Like, you don't owe your coworkers any part of your social life and like personal life. Mm-hmm. It's, I think some people, like my team is very close. So I don't mind keeping them up to date on some personal things, but mm-hmm. There's been jobs where I definitely kept my personal life super separate because I wasn't like tight with my coworkers. I did not want to see them outside of work.
Right.
I would never go to a happy hour with them. Like, there's different, you know, it just depends.
Yeah. It all depends on like the vibe. What industry would you say is the most accepting of gay people? I know we don't have like stats on that, but just from your perspective, do you have any insight?
So I'm probably missing a lot of industries that I could put on this list, but if I'm going to give a top three, I'd say like the entertainment industry, the restaurant industry, and the styling industry, like hairstylists, mm-hmm. makeup artists. Yeah. Fashion, like those were the top three I thought of. But I also think I think a lot of nonprofits are more accepting, mm-hmm. especially depending on what the nonprofit is. I think a lot of education systems are pretty accepting. If you get in the right parts of corporate America, they get all like rah-rah pride. It's definitely mm-hmm. like the Turner logo rainbow for a month kind of vibe. But like, did I say restaurants too? Like restaurants.
Yeah, that was my first thought, was like service industry. And I don't know necessarily mm-hmm. if that's because it's the most accepting or all of the other things that can affect like queer career paths and jobs and everything, like, you know, cost of living in cities or family support, whatever. I don't know if it's necessarily the most accepting, but it's definitely, like I said, I work in a restaurant and a good chunk of us are gay, so or queer in some way. So I feel like that is the one that I first thought of. But also at the same time, like, I think I texted you about this and I wanted to tell this story on air. So I feel like this is like a good segue. But I had one of the tables I was serving ask me if I knew any cute guys recently. And I just was like, and I was like, not really. And they were like, well, damn. And it was just so awkward, like awkward silence. I was like, I don't know what to say. Like, do I come out to them right now? Or is the older couple at the table next to them that I'm serving, are they going to give me a smaller tip if they overhear me be like, well, I'm a lesbian? So it's kind of like I kind of like let queer couples I get know, I don't know, I don't let them know, but I don't hide it, but I'm not gonna like necessarily out myself when it could affect how much money I make at the end of the day. So that was like a thing that I was like, do I come out right now, do I not, what do I do? I was just like, I don't know any, I'm sorry. And I feel like they thought I was saying none of the guys I knew would be into them, but I'm just like, I don't know any guys except for the ones who work here, and
just don't know men. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I have like one gay friend that I hang out with and the rest are women. So,
So at my job, since I'm like sales support, for lack of a better, I don't know, to keep it brief, basically. So I work with all these different salespeople, and because I could work with the same salesperson over and over again, but they're always hiring because it's a high turnover kind of job. And so I work with new people all the time. And it's almost like every time I work with someone new and they want to make small talk, I have to decide in that quick moment, like, do I want to come out to this person or not? Especially when they're like, oh, did you do anything fun this weekend? And I could just give a stereotypical answer of like, oh, just some relaxing time. Cause this is like corporate America and it's just like a lot of fluff. But sometimes like they'll directly ask me like, oh, do you have, like, are you married? Or like blah, blah, blah. And I have to decide, do I want to be like, no, or do I want to be like, oh, I live with my girlfriend? Like what level do I want to go to? Now luckily I haven't gotten like the, like, do you have a husband or things like that are microaggression-y more, so to speak, but even just like, do you have kids? Like, I'm just like, how much of my life do I really want to tell? Like, can we just get to like what we're here to do? I like, I don't know, but that's me not liking small talk, because I'm like, I really don't like anybody talking to me that much if you're not like on my team.
Yeah And the whole do you have kids thing, like, I know I'm almost 30, but every time I hear that, I'm like, you think I'm old enough to have kids? You think I have, like, my shit
like
together?
A teen pregnancy? Like,
I cannot,
oh my God,
a
I
child.
Just
I'm barely
turned
31. Right? Like, what do you mean?
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, with the whole the field and industry that you want to go into, somebody asked, should I allow my sexuality to dictate my future career choices? I'm worried I won't meet other gay people in the field I want to go into, which, I mean, I think you know that there's obviously some industries that are more or less diverse in general. So like both my mom and my partner are or were in very male dominated fields, and there are uphill challenges to that being women. And that doesn't mean they don't work with other women. It doesn't mean my partner doesn't work with other gay people, because she does, but it does mean that there's less representation in those areas. So I wouldn't put your whole career into just that, because you do like do the job at the end of the day. But I think you're also allowed to wonder, like, how much of the lifting do I want to do to get where I want to be versus what's going to make me happy doing the job all day? Like, I think there's a lot more to factor into than just the industry. I would think about like the job you're doing. And then I think that, you know, if you do go into an industry where there's not a lot of other gays, you might be breaking more ice, like making more progress, you know? So it's not like a bad thing.
I was going to say the only way to diversify a field is to like join it yourself. You can't make other queer people join, but you joining it might encourage other queer people to join once they see they're not the only ones who want to be part of that field, and that it's not all going to be like cishet mania. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you should allow your sexuality to dictate it, but if the field is going to like negatively, I mean, you can't even say, never mind. I was going to say, if the field's going to negatively impact your mental health or whatever because of the people you're around, then maybe don't choose that field. But also, you don't know if it's going to or not until you're in it. So I think if it's something you want to do, you should just do it.
Yeah, if anything, don't stay somewhere that doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you can't try out the career choices that you're interested in.
Yeah. Totally agree. So we got another question that kind of goes along with this, and it's, how can I advocate for more queer inclusivity at work? Gina, as the HR professional, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely depends on what industry and what job you're in. But for any area, first of all, you can go to your HR team and specifically ask them, like, what are you doing diversity wise for hiring efforts? Mm-hmm. How are you fostering any sort of diversity? Do we have any resource programs? And they might tell you no. But if you don't speak up and ask for those things, then they might not ever know there's a need or start to put those things together. Luckily, there are, depending on the business size and all this stuff, there's a lot of different rules around what companies have to do to just like be fair. But they don't always have to have these like business resource groups where you can find all the other gay people and be put in little chats and have little happy hour events and all that stuff. So if you can be that person to organize those kinds of things, I think it's great. We have a pride group at my work, and I've been really involved over the years. And that included doing things for people at the office, as well as like community events and volunteering. So if you don't want to be like at happy hour with people, you could find some sort of local nonprofit to, you know, help out and bring that to work. A lot of businesses and jobs and organizations are very about like the community, the social responsibility, I should say. But it's also hard because a lot of companies at the end of the day are just focused on the bottom line. How's this going to make us money? So you have to kind of frame it. If you're going to bring it to HR, you want like a strategy, frame it around like recruitment and retention, because keeping people around and keeping people happy and keeping people in their job rather than having to find new people because others are leaving and stuff, that does help the company's bottom line. And if, you know, you're not sure where your company is, there's different resources you can look at. Companies that have been named best places to work by, you know, like the Human Resource Campaign or Human Rights Campaign and different places like that. And so you can see where they're at, ask HR, do what you can. And just like even find the other queer people and just like connect on an interpersonal level, you know, if there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, I feel like more of like an on the ground technique for it, because I feel like that's like higher
grassroots
level
campaigning.
Inclusivity. Yeah, but I think you know, working to include other queer people in things going on at work or outside of work, and just like forging relationships with them and forging a community. And also I try to like use less gendered language and more inclusive language, like I'll refer to people's partners as their partner to other people, just, you know, to make it easier on everyone to be themselves. Because sometimes like when I say like my partner, I'm like, how are they going to take it? But if, you know, if more people are referring to their partners as their partner, it's not like me outing myself necessarily or something uncomfortable that like I have to talk about that now. Yeah, so I feel like there are like smaller ways to do it as well. And I think also just, you know, being out, being yourself, being proud about it. If you can, if it's the right scenario, if you like your coworkers and actually want to talk to them and tell them about your life, I think that can be very helpful because it helps other people speak up about their experiences.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree with that. I don't know how much business casual you've had to wear, so I don't know.
I have
what
had to
jobs
wear business
maybe.
Casual.
Okay. Okay, because somebody asked, business casual wear for a femme that hates regular feminine business casual. When I had my job right now, I could pretty much wear whatever I want and they don't give a flying fuck. Like, it's so funny to me because when I worked at these like smaller organizations, they cared so much about what we wore. And they were like, you wouldn't be able to wear this if you were at a big company. And then I get to a big company and they could not give two flying fucks. I swear the bigger the company, the less like they care about how you dress.
Yeah, they don't need to micromanage you anymore.
That's true. So the company I worked at before this was very big on office presentation overall, like the office being neat, everyone being dressed well. And I dressed a lot more femme in those days. And so I wonder what this person means by regular feminine business casual, because I think there's like a stereotype of those kind of ugly blouses tucked into pencil skirts. Yeah. And you can,
and I'm
listen,
imagining
you can,
like ballet flats, but like not the cute kind.
yeah, like frumpy ballet flats. You can make a pencil skirt look real cute. I think one of my favorite style icons when it comes to business casual is the nanny, like Fran Drescher, because it's a lot of like high neck turtles tucked into cute little skirts with tights, little booties, or like nice shoes. And that looks super professional. You're completely covered up, but it's still feminine. It's super feminine. It's so cute. It's very like dark academia meets like the clique. I don't know. I like that kind of style. I do think, again, like the regular business casual is that like just kind of those frumpy outfits and stuff, because I think a lot of what's popular right now is that those like all beige East Coast grandma kind of outfits, those can look
Clean
super
girl aesthetic.
professional. Yep. And they look super professional, but super clean and feminine and trendy. Even just like oversized blazers with a smaller or tight shirt underneath. It doesn't have to be some like corset or something, but even just like a very fitted tee underneath a more oversized blazer, any pant, any skirt, whatever. Like, I feel like where fashion is right now versus where fashion one was when I was dressing like a femme in an office has come a long way. So I just feel like there's so many options to not just do the standard like librarian or AD secretary or things that like I'm hoping they mean when they say regular business casual. Otherwise, I don't totally know what they mean.
Yeah, I feel like that's what they have to mean too, or like more of like a preppy aesthetic maybe that they don't want is also what I'm thinking. I just looked up lesbian business casual on Pinterest because I needed some inspiration, and a lot of what I was gonna say, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was gonna say like a big structured like chunky cool blazer, and like you said, with a little skirt, pants, that's a lot of options if you like that. Or if that's too business casual for you, you could do either like a tighter or oversized like sweater vest. Turtlenecks are great. I feel like also business casual comes down to like the fabrics you choose, like if it's like wool or linen or like a knit fabric. Like I think you can have very basic outfits that look almost elevated depending on the kind of fabric you choose for it, and then that kind of makes it more work friendly. I also always love to just throw on a dress as a femme because people think you tried so much harder than you did. And it's just like putting on one article of clothing. Also, lots of accessories I think are a good way. Even if you have like a quote unquote like boring business casual fit on, like you could make it cool and make it your own. And also you could like switch up the footwear maybe if you're allowed to wear like sneakers or something cool. Chunky boots. I don't know. That could maybe make a business casual outfit look more fun. So
yeah.
Those are my recommendations.
Yeah. Even switching up the colors and patterns like can really change how feminine something looks. Or I don't know. I feel like sometimes I'll put on an outfit and I'm like, I look like I'm the caterer now because I always just go to like black and white
caterer.
Or black and khaki or white and khaki. Yeah. But I think that you can add a lot with color, with different shapes, layers, you know, put that button down shirt, put a sweater over it. So you have that little like, you know, preppy school vibe. And yeah, I feel like you can get really creative, I think, with just where fashion is right now.
Yeah. I love a power clashing moment also. So if you like won't get hate at work for that, because I know sometimes people are like, it's too much. I love to mix and match like prints and, you know, go wild with that. I think it looks really cool if it's done right. It's giving like Miss Frizzle in the best way. So I feel like that could be a fun way to take like business casual wear, but make it funky and fun.
I love it.
Okay. Our last question for this episode is, how do I get over my crush on a coworker who I have to interact with every day?
This is a hard one for me to answer because if I'm being honest, I didn't get over my coworkers that I had crushes on that I have to act with. I interact with every day. One of them, I switched jobs, and another one, I moved cross country. So I didn't really get over it. I just got away from them.
You put distance in between it.
In whatever way, I was no longer interacting with them every day. It is hard because like, if it's just a crush too, it's not like an ex, you've like nothing to be like, closure, it's over or whatever. You're just like, no, but they're just over there doing their thing and they're so cute about it. What the fuck? So like, I don't know. But how do you expect a Libra to answer that question?
True. Okay, to be fair, that's not the answer I expected you to give. I expected you to be like, what's wrong with having a crush on a coworker? It's fun. It's flirty. Like that's usually your go-to when someone has a crush on someone and they're like trying to get over it or whatever. So I'm surprised that.
Well, only because I've had crushes that I totally needed to get over. I totally
Why did you need
needed
to get
to.
over them?
Because one was in the closet and the other was in a relationship with somebody that wasn't me.
Okay. Because I was going to ask, like, what circumstances would
Unavailability.
necessitate. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I
Or
think.
what if they've already rejected you or something? Or like you just already know it's not gonna happen, you know? Like I
Yeah.
just, cause if, yeah, you're right. If there's no harm, no foul, then like have the crush. It makes work more fun. But I was like, I need to not. And like, I couldn't not.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's easier to said than done, but like, I think if you can keep in mind that it's just like a fun little crush and it doesn't have to go anywhere, and it could just like make your day a little bit more exciting at work to see them, that might be a good way. I've never had like a super like intense crush on a coworker where I'm like, I want to be with them kind of thing. So I haven't necessarily had to get over this myself. But I did have a coworker who would like beg me to have sex with her all the time. And I was like, no, we're friends. I'll continue to be your friend, but I don't want to have sex with you. So I kind of had to like set that boundary there. I guess she was eventually able to get over it. She just like took the rejection and was like, okay, we're not gonna have sex. But I
You can
don't
only
know,
try
like, it
so
doesn't have
far,
to be,
you know.
it doesn't have to be awkward afterwards either. Like, you can just take that person's crush on you as a compliment and like move on, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like crushes don't have to be the biggest deal. They can be the biggest deal, but they can also just be like a fun hobby to pass the time.
Yeah, you do have to go and do the job. And if there's something that makes the day go faster, have fun, you know?
And if it's really like ruining your career, ruining your work day, your work life, you're not happy, like maybe it's time to find a different job. Like, you can't make the other person leave, but you can remove yourself from the situation.
Yeah,
You can
find
put
out what your
discipline.
employer feels about intra-office dating or intra-worker dating and go from there. It's
Yes.
weigh out how much the crush versus the job means to you.
Exactly. I love that. All right. So with that, we've wrapped up another episode. If you have any questions for us for future episodes, you can give us a call at 724-209-7372 and leave us a message. You can also email us at sapphicsurvivalguide@gmail.com or find us on social media and send us a DM. We're at Sapphic Survival Guide on every platform except for Twitter, which is just at Sapphic Survival. You can subscribe. You can and should subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts, so Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. Please rate us, give us 5 stars, send an episode to your friends. Anything you can do to help us out would be great. And you can also subscribe to us on Patreon, patreon.com/sapphicsurvivalguide for a little extra bonus content. And you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Mess BN on pretty much any social media platform.
And you can find me anywhere online at The Libra Gina, including my website, thelibragina.com. And you can listen to my other podcast, Hello, wherever you listen to podcasts for your Jersey Shore recaps. And with that, class is now dismissed.